Well, God bless all of you. Let's take our Bibles tonight and go to Ephesians chapter 1, please. Over the last now 10 weeks on these Wednesday night online fellowships, we have been doing a study on the new birth. And this 10th teaching in this series will be the concluding teaching. We started, and it was basically about 2.5 months ago, but we started by looking at the new birth is eternal life. And since it is eternal life, it cannot be lost, as some people errantly think. But we have eternal life through the gift of God, through the new birth. And then after that, we looked at the new birth is the ability to operate 9 manifestations of Holy Spirit. Now, each one of these things that I'm now reviewing are so wonderful in and of themselves, but then when you really stop and consider, which I hope you will, to put them all together, it just shows what a magnificent package, what a unspeakable gift God has given us. So the new birth gives us the ability to operate 9 manifestations of Holy Spirit. Then we looked at the new birth gives us access to God, that we have access unto God by the Spirit, access to get prayers answered, access to receive revelation, access for comfort, like we heard in the manifestations. Access to God's goodness and God's throne of grace. Then we looked at the new birth gives us the love of God. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So we can love perfectly. We can love with God's unconditional love. It's part of our new nature. Then we looked at the new birth is dominion regained. The dominion that Adam lost over the earth, over the animals and plants and over everything on the earth that he lost when he lost the Spirit was first regained by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ exhibited dominion, perfect dominion, because he was not of the sinful nature that all the rest of us share from Adam. But then that the new birth Spirit regains dominion so that we can reign in life by one, Christ Jesus. And, you know, you would think that at this point we're only halfway through, and these are certainly what we looked at and are looking at tonight. It's not everything the new birth is by any means. After that, we looked at the new birth is our sanctification, that we've been set apart from this present evil world, that even though we're in the world, we're not of the world. We've been sanctified by the gift of Holy Spirit. The next week, we looked at the Holy Spirit is redemption, that we've been bought back and now belong to God. We are no longer Satan's property. That Holy Spirit makes us God's property. God is our Father. We're His sons. We've been redeemed. We've been bought back. Then we looked at the Holy Spirit is our righteousness. The new birth sets things right with God. We have the righteousness of God. You know, how terrific is that? And really, it all comes by God's grace. It was confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead, because confession is made unto salvation, and we believe unto righteousness. Then last in our last session, we looked at the new birth gives us the ministry of reconciliation. Every born-again one has a ministry to perform, and that reconciliation being twofold, that it's not only offering the word of God concerning salvation to the unsaved, but it's also helping brothers and sisters in Christ to be reconciled when they need it, like Paul and the others demonstrated in their care and concern for the Corinthians. So this, in our concluding session, our 10th session concerning the new birth, tonight we're going to look at the new birth as the down payment of our inheritance. In Ephesians chapter 1 is a tremendous list of the many of the things that have through Christ. And we're going to pick up the record in verse 11. It says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance." In Christ we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Each one of us have been predestinated, something that God has worked after the counsel of his own will. It's the will of God that we are now his children, and being his children, we have obtained an inheritance. You know, imagine if your grandfather was Bill Gates or Warren Buffett or Jeff Bezos or some of the most wealthy people in the world. Imagine if when they pass away, there was going to be a reading of the will. Don't you think you'd be interested in what they have willed, you know, to you maybe, or to your brothers and sisters, or to your parents, or to other relatives? Do you think you might be a little bit interested in the will? Well, let's remember, the Word of God is the will of God. And when we read the Word, we learn His will. And part of His will for our lives is that He has given us an inheritance. We have obtained an inheritance in the new birth. It goes on to say, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Isn't that a wonderful declaration of what each one of us have gone through as Christians? Because it says, after you heard the word of truth. It began when you heard the word of truth. You had to hear the word. Believing comes by hearing, and hearing by one thing, the word of God. But here it says, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. See, that's what puts us into God's family, is ye believed the word of truth, specifically the word concerning Jesus Christ, that he is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. So you hear the word, you believe the word, and so it says, then ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. See, that is further substantiation, a further declaration of Holy Spirit is incorruptible seed. It's sealed. It can't be corrupted. It can't be lost. Can't be sinned away. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, a few sessions ago, we looked at our redemption. And our redemption is that we were bought back to God by the price that he paid, which is the life of his son, Jesus Christ. So now we are his purchased possession. But that redemption that we've received is only in part. In fact, you could think of the redemption that we received as being with a small r. But here it talks about until the redemption of the purchased possession, that the gift of Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. That's referring to when Jesus Christ comes back. That will be the full redemption with a capital R. Just like right now we've received salvation, But our total full salvation, with a capital S, will be when Jesus Christ returns. But right now, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We've been sealed with the new birth. And it is declared here to be the earnest of our inheritance. Now, the word earnest, very uniquely, it only occurs three times in the New Testament. It's the Greek word erebon, but it would be very well translated in modern language. In fact, in her Aramaic translation of the New Testament, Jan Majera translated this word as down payment. And that's a process that many of us are familiar with. You want to buy a house. You might not have enough money to buy all of the purchase price, but you make a down payment. And then, you know, you work through your financing, you work through everything else, and then you own the house. Well, this is, the Holy Spirit here is declared to be a down payment. It's, another translation is, it's a pledge. Or you could think of it as it's a small part of the bigger part to come. This speaks very much of things to come when Christ comes back. Because look at what we've seen over the last 10 weeks about how absolutely terrific Holy Spirit is. And we didn't by any means do a comprehensive study of all that the Word of God declares it is. But all of these wonderful things that come in the new birth package here are declared to be just a small part of our inheritance. It's just the down payment that we've received from God of what our full inheritance will be at the time of Jesus Christ's return. How terrific is that? Let's look at the other two uses of this word earnest, or down payment or pledge. They're both in 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It says in verse 21, "Now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God." You know, God is the one that has done this. God is the one that's established us in Christ. He's the one that has anointed us with the gift of Holy Spirit. And then it says, verse 22, "who hath also sealed us." See, there that word comes up again. "Who also hath sealed us and given the down payment," the earnest, the erebon, "of the Spirit in our hearts." Once again, the gift of Holy Spirit, the new birth, is declared to be a down payment, just a small part of the full inheritance that we'll receive when Christ returns. It also comes up, the other use in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, and this is in the context of Christ's return, it says in verse 5, "Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God." Once again, it's attributing what has been worked to God. "Who also hath given unto us the earnest," or the token, the pledge, the down payment of the Spirit. How terrific is that? The gift of Holy Spirit, as rich as it is, as almost unfathomable as it is, as fantastic, so multivariegated, so richly full of God's grace and love for us as children, is just a small part of that which is to come. Look at Romans chapter 8. So we have obtained an inheritance, and what we've obtained is the down payment of that inheritance. In Romans chapter 8, it talks of our inheritance. It says in verse 17, Well, we'll read verse 16. It says, "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And many of you will recognize that that's talking about speaking in tongues. The proof to you that you are a child of God. It bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, which we are children of God, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffered with him, that we may be also glorified together. Okay, in speaking of our inheritance, it says here that we are heirs of God. We are God's heirs. We're written in God's will as being his heirs. And it also says that we're joint heirs with Christ, and that joint heirs implies that we share fully with Christ. How terrific is that? This is spoken of in many other places in the New Testament. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians speaks of this. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. It says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith, by believing in Christ Jesus. For as many of you has been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus." You know, all of those things that were associated with the first birth, whether you're, what does it say, whether you're Jew or Greek, whether bond or free, male or female, you know, that all doesn't matter in the body of Christ, for we are all children of God, and we are all one in Christ Jesus. "And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Once again, the declaration that we are heirs of God. Being a child of God makes us heirs of God. We've obtained an inheritance. It says this similar, it says in verse 7, it says, "Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Look at Titus chapter 3, please. Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. Titus chapter 3. We'll pick up the record in verse 4. "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." It's by the washing and regeneration of the Holy Spirit that saved us, "which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord." And we've been looking at some of the abundance of the Holy Spirit that God has shed on us. Verse 7, "that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." We started this series by looking at that we all have eternal life. That's our hope, that we have the hope of Christ's return, and that in that we will live forever with him, will forever be with the Lord. So we've been made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. It's when Jesus Christ returns that we will see our full inheritance manifested. One more verse on our inheritance. Look at James chapter 2, please, right after the book of Hebrews. James chapter 2. It says in verse 5, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him. Isn't that wonderful? We are heirs of the kingdom. You know, there's a wonderful section. We're not going to look at it tonight, but I've covered it in many other teachings. There's a wonderful section in Hebrews chapter 12, which talks about the New Jerusalem. And in the New Jerusalem, there's a listing in Hebrews 12 of everyone that will be there. And very prominently listed as part of this who's who of the kingdom, if you will, is the church of the firstborn. And you can read that in Hebrews 12:23. But there's a list of who will be in the New Jerusalem. And the New Jerusalem is part of the third heaven and third earth, the new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. We will be there. We've been given eternal life. You know, once Christ returns and we're gathered together, the Word of God says that we will forever be with the Lord. We will no longer be separated. You know, currently, he's seated at the right hand of God. He's not present here upon earth. Now, we have wonderful fellowship. We have the Word of God to guide us and tell us of his accomplishments. There have been periodic times where Jesus Christ has communicated directly with human beings. But, you know, he is not here, and we are separated from him. We're absent from the Lord. But when Christ returns, we will spend all of eternity no longer separated. We'll forever be with him, which gets to be very, very interesting when you read the book of Revelation. Because we are gathered together, and that begins the book of Revelation, you know, basically. There's some stuff of the first century churches that's addressed in chapters 2 and 3, but in chapter 4, beginning, is recorded the gathering together. And from then on, we will forever be with the Lord. So it's very interesting to consider, well, if we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, then what is our inheritance? Well, our inheritance is not described in detail, and it's certainly not fully described, to the best of my understanding, anywhere in the Bible. But there are glimpses of it, of what our inheritance will be. And it certainly includes being forever with the Lord. Another part of it is that when we're gathered together, we go to heaven. And we will be in heaven for a period of time with Christ while all the crap hits the fan here upon earth. You know, the earth becomes a very dark place. It's called the day of wrath, the day of vengeance of our God. And in that process, one of the things that's being accomplished is that the land, the title to the land of this second earth, is reclaimed by Jesus Christ. Now, that will be shown when we return with Christ later on in the book of Revelation and come down to earth from heaven to be with him. And during that period of time, it says that Satan will be chained, you know, he will be restrained, and that we will reign with Christ upon earth for 1,000 years. That's a long time. 1,000 years, a long time. And that's part of the second earth. This is taking possession. God's taking possession through his son, Jesus Christ, and the church of the earth. That's part of our inheritance. Certainly another part of our inheritance, this will be achieved, you know, with the gathering together, is we'll get new bodies. We'll also get new minds that, you know, are not sin conscious, not all full of junk and garbage periodically. We'll know even as we are known. You know, what else is part of our inheritance? Well, we'll also be a part, as I shared earlier, in the New Jerusalem, where the Bible concludes, which is part of the third heaven and third earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, when everything has been made right by the work of Jesus Christ. Now, what else is involved in our inheritance? Well, it'll take the gathering together. It will take the events of Christ's return for us to know. But we have so much to look forward to, so much that God declares now that all the riches of Christ within are just a small part of that inheritance. A verse that I think sums it up real wonderfully, and we'll conclude this teaching series with this verse. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says in 1 John, in light of Christ coming back, that it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be made like him, for we shall see him as he is. Maybe that says it, you know, as well, if you really want to understand, you know, what's the full inheritance? Well, it doth not yet appear. But this verse says it in a very exquisite way, in a very powerful figure of speech way. It says, and this again is in the context of the return, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 17, it says, "For our light affliction," it's referring to now, what we go through now, "for our light affliction, which is but for a moment." You know, this life is fleeting. You know, sure, you go through trials and tribulations. There's hurt and sorrow that comes in this life. You know, things are far from perfect, to say the least. But here it's called a light affliction, and it's but for a moment. I guess when you compare it to eternity, it is a small moment for sure. But our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of what? Glory. And that's what's coming. A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, what's very interesting is when you work this word, these three words in English, far more exceeding. In the Greek, there are also three words, but two of the words are the same. And the Greek word for this is hyperbole, which we also use as a figure of speech, to describe a figure of speech in English, hyperbole. And hyperbole would be like far more, and then exceeding would be the second use of this. But in the Greek, it's hyperbole. Ace hyperbole, which means hyperbole could be understood as far above or far beyond. In fact, in the same chapter, verse 7, let's read verse 7. It says, "But we have this treasure," the new birth, "in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." That word excellency is also the word hyperbole. But it's like that which is beyond, or that which excels beyond. So really what this is saying, figuratively, in verse 17 is hyperbole, ace hyperbole, that which is far beyond unto that which is far beyond. And it's so figuratively accurate. It's so excellent that it's far beyond excellency. That's what awaits us. I don't know how, you can see how in the King James, and I've checked a few other translations, there's not a simple, easy way to translate this because it's so fantastic. It's like so beyond what's that which is even beyond. That's the weight of glory that awaits us. So we have a lot to look forward to. There are great things to come. In fact, those things are excellency unto more excellency. They are far beyond that which is far beyond. So Jesus Christ is coming back. could be tonight. Hope it is. And in the meantime, enjoy being born again. So, Father, thank you for how wonderful your word is, for what awaits us through Christ, for his soon and speedy return. And thank you for the ones that avail themselves of these teachings being blessed and seeing more and more about your grace and goodness. So thank you for the new birth. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Love you.